If you'd like to follow along, I'm going to start out in Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. I'm going to read the first three verses. At the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. Here it is, verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, have I drawn thee. I remember a few decades ago, Earl Cochran read that verse out loud and preached on it. And man, that verse just got a hold of me. And you know what? It hasn't let go yet. And that's a good thing. But before I get started, I'm going to ask you a question. How does the preaching of the gospel affect you? Because here's the thing. The preaching of the gospel will have an effect. And it will affect you. I'm trying to say the difference between effect and effect. Anyhow. But here's the thing. Some, by the preaching of the gospel, are brought to the light, or being brought to the light. Some may receive it with gladness and joy in their heart. But unfortunately, I said some, I wrote down some, but I think it's actually most, are being hardened by the preaching of the gospel. They may be hardened by boredom. They may not care. They may be hardened by anger because they hate the truth. Either way, it doesn't matter. The gospel and those who preach the gospel are the savor of life unto life to some and the savor of death unto death for others. Now the question is, how does the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, affect you? I hope it affects you well. Anyhow, that's just something. My title today, Paul, is Loved with an Everlasting Love. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, these are the words of the Lord. They're not the words of Jeremiah, although he may have spoken them and he may have wrote them. He wrote them down. The Lord told Jeremiah this. And we try to be very clear here. What we want to preach is thus saith the Lord. And this is what thus saith the Lord. Pay attention. Because the Lord told Jeremiah, and Jeremiah has told us what the Lord said. Understand, there are people who think we're just making up stuff when we come up here. That's the way they look at their church. And to be honest, in a lot of other places, I'm sure that's exactly what's happening. Somebody's up there making up stuff. But our message, we try to be clear. We want to preach His word from His word. And these are the words of the Lord. Pay attention. Behold, pay attention. Jeremiah wrote, the Lord has appeared, and this is a strange, of old unto me. And I got to thinking about that. Why in the world? Because he just said, at the same time saith the Lord, I'll be the God of all the families of Israel. Verse 1. Thus saith the Lord. Verse 2. Then he says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying. You understand what that means? What Jeremiah is getting ready to tell us that the Lord said is nothing new. It's nothing new. You understand? People have this crazy idea that the Lord changes. The Lord doesn't change. We change. Amen. And sometimes we really, really, really need to change. But this is nothing new. And here it is, what the Lord said. Yea, I have loved thee. Yea. I got to thinking about this. Yea is a good word. Yeah. Yea is a good word. It's a very positive word. I like that. It's old English. They used to, you'd see it in the old movies. Yea, verily. Yes. Truly. Yea. Certainly. And matter of fact, the word yea is also a promise word. Here's the thing. For all the promises of God in him are yea and amen. Why? Unto the glory of God by us. Here's a promise fulfilled. Yea, I have loved thee. Yea, I have loved thee. And you know what? He still does. He still does. God has loved his people. God cares for his chosen people. Yea. I like that. I do. Yay. Because I understand this is a true love. This is a perfect love. God is love. And God's love is truly perfect. This is a love, and very clearly, it's not based upon your works. It's not based upon your works. It's based upon God. Amen. God himself. The Lord. This is a true love because the Lord loves with a real love. And what did John write about it? Perfect love casts out fear. There's no fear in love. There's fear in us, but there's no fear in the love of God. I like that. Yea, I have loved thee. But here it is, with an everlasting love. Not just now, not just in the past, an everlasting love. Oh, and here it is, a love from the beginning. What do you mean by the beginning? I mean by the beginning. When you look at the beginning, when it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know what? God loved. God loved his people then. Understand, it's hard for us to comprehend. It's hard for us to lay hold of. Matter of fact, I tell you the honest truth, I'm going to make an admission here. Now, I'm not confessing. I'm making an admission. Now, this is the difference. I feel inadequate, personally, sometimes speaking about the love of God. I mean, how am I, an ungodly sinner, still ungodly, still a sinner, supposed to relate to you the love of God in Jesus Christ and the love that God has for his people, the love that Christ has for his body. Thankfully, I don't have to use my words, I can use his. And he says, yea, I have loved thee. And saying God makes it personal. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Oh, I like that. His love never changes. Because I am the Lord. I change not. And you understand, he even goes further than that. He says, therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Because you understand, if God loves you, the only change has got to be for the worse. But I'm the Lord, I change not. My love is just like I am. It's everlasting. It's everlasting. God's love is eternal, everlasting, and the word I like best, I remember when you said this, Walter, perpetual. You understand? It has no beginning, it never stops, and it has no end. It's in the past as we see it, it's in the present as we see it, and it's in the future. God's love is eternal. And I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Oh, I like that. This is a promise of old. This is nothing new. God always has loved his people. Even before they ever were born, God loved his people. My love is everlasting. And I've already stated it. Don't forget, God's love is particular. I have loved thee. That's the other part of it. It's particular. I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Stop and think about it. You understand? The Lord didn't appear to everyone. He appeared to Jeremiah and said, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Why is that? Because I hate to be the one to bring it to you. If you don't know, God does not love everyone. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry, but it's the truth. That might be one of them things why somebody hears the gospel, people get mad. God does not love everyone. Yeah. He has had a particular people ever since the beginning of the world. Some before the foundations of the world. Chosen in his son, in Christ Jesus, before the world began. And he loved them. And he loves them now. And he does not love everyone. And this also is nothing new, even if you've never heard it before. That's the truth of it. This is not new. The Lord hath appeared unto me of old, saying, oh, and he told us of his everlasting love. But here's the thing. Most people talk about the love of God like it's useless. But it's not so. Understand? Here's the thing. In this verse right here, you'll find it. There is always, always, always a positive result of the love of the Lord. What did he say? Therefore, what? Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Oh my. Now is that everybody he loves? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Understand? If God loves you, he's going to draw you with loving kindness. The love of the Lord always has this positive result. He draws those that he loves. Understand? Jesus Christ told us to pray, Our Father. I'm going to tell you something. The Father desires his family to be near him. Amen. The Father desires the family of God to call upon him. The Lord draws to himself those that he has loved from everlasting. And notice the two time frames. The love is from everlasting. But the drawing is in time. I have loved thee. Therefore, what? With loving kindness, I have drawn who? Thee. Amen. Whom he loves, he draws. And that drawing is in time. And you may not know what's going on with it at first. I can guarantee you that. But he will make himself known to you. I guarantee that also. He's promised. Now, God's drawing is with loving kindness. But I want you to know something. Don't confuse loving kindness with being always pleasant. You understand? I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes being drawn with loving kindness can make you feel miserable.
Amen. That's right.
And it's supposed to. It is supposed to. It's supposed to. Understand, I'll give you another example here. God chastens every son that he has with loving kindness. That's an act of loving kindness. Now, whom the Lord loveth, he chastens.
Amen.
He chastens. But here's the thing. No chastening at the present time seemed to be joyous, but grievous. And you know why? Because it is. It's called chastening for a reason. To chasten someone is to punish someone to yield a positive result. A matter of correction is what's implied in that word. But it says, oh, afterwards, chastening yields what? The peaceable fruit of righteousness. God chastens in loving kindness. So what I'm saying is this, the drawing of God is made in loving kindness. But parts of it are not pleasant. Because you understand, the spirit of bondage to fear comes before the spirit of adoption. And the spirit of bondage to fear. Fear is not pleasant, but it's necessary. What's the beginning of wisdom? What's the beginning of knowledge? The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. And the spirit of bondage to fear is not pleasant. But it is loving kindness. Finding out that you personally are a sinner. And by that I mean you know you are a person who sins. You have in you sin, and it comes out on you when you don't want it to. Finding that out is not pleasant. It's a truth. It's a reality, but it's not pleasant. But it is part of the drawing. It is part of the drawing. It is loving kindness. Because here's the thing. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. He said, I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. How are you going to repent of something you don't know? How are you going to repent of being a sinner if you don't know you're a sinner? Not going to happen. He didn't call the righteous. He didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And the Lord draws them with loving kindness. With loving kindness. Oh, yeah, and here's the thing. I can tell you this. When Yahweh Elohim draws you, you'll come.
Amen.
You will come. You will come. You'll come to him. And I tell you this, you'll keep coming. You'll keep coming. Now that's the Old Testament. Right? The weird thing is, and I do understand it because of what is around us and what passes for Sunday schools and all this in churches and all around us and on TV and on the radio, we're inundated with it if you turn your television on, which I don't recommend you do. Some people think it's okay for God to be God in the Old Testament. Have you ever pondered that? It's okay, you know, God could drag people into the wilderness for years. God could kill, strike people graveyard dead in the Old Testament, and nobody said a word. And they don't say a word about it now. in most churches. You understand? The Lord could send Israel to invade other countries and make war upon them. But the New Testament's different, isn't it? Well, not in God's sovereignty, it's not. Now here's the thing. Not in God's salvation either. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins, wherein in time past ye walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God. Oh, that's a good word there. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith, what? He loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And I'm going to stop right there. God is rich in mercy. What? For his great love, wherewith he has loved us. And here's the thing. God has all the mercy. You understand? Now, Walter has been clear, and I love the way he's pointed this out. You understand? The offended party is the one that grants the mercy. You understand? We've offended God. We need mercy from God. You understand? I can offer you, and maybe even sincerely mean it, my mercy. But I'm going to tell you something, that won't do you any good. I mean, I may actually offer it to you and may actually mean it, but it's not going to do you any good. You want to know why? I don't have any power.
Amen. That's right.
You could offer me your mercy, but it wouldn't do me any good because you got no power. God has all the power. Therefore, God has all the mercy. And he is rich in mercy. Oh, I like that. He's rich in mercy. And that's the good news. God is rich in mercy. God is rich in mercy. For his great love wherewith he loved us. This great love is one of my favorite words is used in it. Plenteous. Because you know, in plenteous love, he has given us plenteous redemption. I like that. I do. His great love, abundant love. What does it say? Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace, ye are saved. Oh, I like that. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Understand, God's love toward you is in his Son.
Amen, that's right.
Is in Jesus Christ. God's mercy toward you is in his Son, Jesus Christ. Understand, Ephesians 2 is chock full of God's abundant mercy and plenteous love and what? Merciful, gracious works. And they're all the work of God. Now, in verses 3 and 4, or excuse me, 2 and 3, are our works. They're not good. They're not good, folks. Wherein in times past, Ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's what we were. Yet, he loved us with an everlasting love in Christ Jesus. What's the next verse? Among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. We were totally and completely selfish. We did what we wanted to do. Well, put it this way. We did what we thought we could get away with. You understand? And God loved us with an everlasting love. And were by nature, our very natures were just the same, the children of wrath, even as others. Then he says, but God. You understand, our works are there. They're just not good. His works are there, and his works are all good. Oh, I like that. He quickened his great love wherewith he loved us, even when dead in trespasses and in sins. Oh, another thing, he has quickened us together with Christ, with the Son, his well-beloved. He associates us with his well-beloved Son. That's grace. That's great. That's good news. That's mercy. Oh, he quickened, he loved, he raised up, and he seated together with Christ. Why? What did it say? For the great love wherewith he loved us. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. But here it is, in the Old Testament and the New Testament alike. His words are plain. God loves his people. God always has loved his people. God will always love his people. And God draws his people to himself in his Son. And we, those who believe, have been quickened together with Christ Jesus now in time. We know. No. There's no question, God is always first in salvation and everything else. Jesus Christ has the preeminence. You don't give him the preeminence. He has the preeminence. Salvation is from the Lord. I know the quotation, salvation is of the Lord. But that's what it means. Salvation is from the Lord. Understand? You read in the Psalms all over and over again, Lord, give to me thy salvation. Or I want the Lord's salvation, his salvation. It's only your salvation if he gives it to you. But it's his salvation to give. I like that. One more thing here. This is back to Jeremiah 29. This is what he said before he said, the Lord hath appeared to me of old in 31, chapter 31. Then verse 29 and verse 11. For I know the thoughts. This is the Lord speaking. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and what? Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Oh, I like that. You understand? I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn thee. I know what thoughts I think towards you. Oh, thoughts of peace and not evil. To give you an expected end. And what's the expected end? Look at the next verses. And ye shall, then shall ye call upon me. And ye shall go and pray unto me. And here's the amazing thing. And I will hearken unto you. And understand, this does have a direct reference to the captivity. And understand this. I believe they've been calling upon him and praying to him for almost 70 years or whatever it was. But they didn't get out. Not until he says, I have thought. What? I know the thoughts I think toward you. Thoughts of peace. Then you're going to pray. Then I'm going to hear. Oh, I like that. What does it say? And I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me. Ye shall seek and find. Oh, in verse 14, here's a glorious statement. Here's good news. And I will be found of you. But you're not going to look for him until he thinks good thoughts of peace unto you. You know why? Because he's got to draw you.
Amen.
I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Oh, I like that. I do. Oh, their freedom from captivity was due completely to the thoughts and the actions of the Lord. And your salvation is completely and totally due to the thoughts and the actions of the Lord. And the work of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. By grace, ye are saved. By grace, ye are saved. And I'm going to put just one little word in there, just to make it very clear. What? By God's grace, ye are saved. He's the only one with grace. He's the only one with grace. He's the only one with mercy. He's the only one with the power to give you both. By grace ye are saved. Oh my. By God's grace he hath quickened us together with Christ Jesus. By God's grace he has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. How is that possible right now when you're here? Well, Christ is there.
Yeah.
He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And guess what? You're in him. If God loved you, you're in him. Oh, yeah. And if he hasn't drawn you yet, he will. And you'll come. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You will continue to come to him. Oh, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Oh, I like that. What's it say after that? With loving kindness have I drawn thee. Just look at the beginning of verse 4. Again, I will build thee. And. This is the glorious part. Here it is. Again, I will build thee, and thou shalt be built. Ain't that something? If God makes a house, it ain't going to fall down. If God gives his son a church, it's not going to fail. Oh, I like that. I do. I will build thee and thou shalt be built. You know what you're going to be built on? Everlasting love.
Amen.
With an everlasting love. I do like that. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this time and this place. We hope, Lord. Lord, that we get grasped. Just a small touch. Of the love you have for us in your Son. And the love your Son has for us. Help us, Lord, to believe you. And receive this truth. Be with Paul and Walter as they come to preach your word. And help us to receive the gospel message. Of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.